Brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Amen. Please be seated. Yeah, Father, I do pray that you will speak through me to each one of us. We are here to listen to your word, and I pray that we may honor and worship you in the manner in which we hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when my son was young, I enrolled him onto a soccer team, and I took him one day to go and meet his coach. There was a soccer practice on, and the soccer coach, he gathered the kids around him, and he asked the kids this question. What do you think is the most important expectation that I have of you now that you are on my team? What's the most important expectation that I have? So one of the kids on the team said, win games. And the coach responded and said, you know, that's a really good answer. I do want us to win games, but that's not the most important expectation that I have. Anybody else? And somebody else said, to become better players, learn skills. Said, that's a really good answer. But again, that's not what I had in mind. Anybody else? What's the most important thing that I want from you now that you're on my team? So another player said, have fun. I said, I really want you kids to have fun, but that's not what I had in mind either. So eventually they ran out of guesses, and the coach responded and said, the most important expectation that I have for you, as you're now on my team, the most important is that you listen to me. Nothing is more important than you learn to listen to me. And if you listen to me, we will win games. If you listen to me, you will develop skills and become a better player. And if you listen to me, I hope that you will have fun. But that's the most important thing. Are you listening? Did you hear what I said? Now, why would he say that? Well, I came to realize that this wasn't his first rodeo. I mean, he was a very experienced coach, and he knew that what made coaching kids so difficult was the fact that kids during the games always had other voices speaking out, screaming out. And if the kids would start listening to them rather than to the coach, there would be constant problems. Who do you think those other voices were? Parents. Every parent is a coach. Every parent thinks they can do better than the coach. And so, of course, as the game is going on, all the parents are telling the kids what to do. And sometimes parents are talking not only to their own kids, they're talking to the other kids as well. Sometimes parents are contradicting each other. Parents are contradicting the coach. And, of course, the poor kid is just in the middle. Like, if he's trying to listen to everybody, I mean, he'll self-destruct. He'll get paralyzed. So it got so bad that the coach decided to take all the parents and say, you can't be on the same side as your kids anymore. You have to go to the other side. Only the coach and his assistant are going to be on this side. So he put all the parents on the other side of the field. But you can hear the parents from the other side of the field. So what this coach did is he sent his assistant, the came all the way around to where we were as parents, and he said, listen, guys, the coach wants me to tell you that feel free to encourage the kids as much as you want, but leave the coaching to him. The kids need to know that they need to listen to him and to nobody else. So it was very clear, and he was getting frustrated, but once again, it was just that emphasis, the most important thing that I need from those that are on my team is that they listen to me. I feel like I'm one of these coaches' assistant that have been sent to the congregation to tell you the most important thing is for you to listen to the coach, for you to listen to the Lord. You need to let everybody else around you as well listen to the Lord. You know, in Luke 9:35, the disciples are up on a mountain, and Peter is talking nonsense, they hear a voice from heaven, and it's the Father, and the Father says this to them. He says, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." If we are to see victory in our life, if we are to grow as disciples of Jesus, if we are to know joy in our life, we have to learn to listen to God. Let's read these verses again. Verse 19, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Now, maybe some of you have read these verses before, and you might say to yourself, wow, I've always thought that these verses were primarily to be applied in personal relationships, like within the community, rather than our relationship with God. Now, if we apply those verses to our relationships in our community, you can't go wrong. I mean, it's really important. In fact, I would think that in our community groups, we should talk about the personal dimension and application of these verses. But I believe that this application, these verses in the context in which we find them, is primarily about our relationship with God. In verse 6, for example, James had said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." So we ask of God, and now James is following up. Now, if God responds to you, make sure that you're quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. As well, if you look at verse 18, he says, "He chose to give us birth through the word of truth." So we are now in his family, and James is saying, now this is how you are to respond to the word of God. You have experienced the power of God's word in your life, and now this is how you are to respond to his word. And if you look also at verse 22, you see James saying, "Be not hearers only, but be doers of the word." So see, be quick to hear, quick to listen. And then he says, but don't be just a hearer of the word. So it's very clear that this is about responding to the word of God in our lives. Now that you're a child of God, you have to learn how to receive and how to respond to God as he speaks to you in his word. Now, it's very clear that James has a very high view of what this Bible is all about, what the scriptures are about. So if this word is being properly taught, is being properly interpreted, faithfully expounded, what James is saying is that this is God speaking to you. This isn't just the word of man. This is God speaking to you. And he says, and if this is God speaking to you through his word, then of course the proper, honorable, worshipful way of responding is by saying to all these other voices, shh, God is speaking, let us listen. That is the proper way. We need to take the same posture that Samuel once took. You may remember this when he was told, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. When we come to church together, we come to honor God through our worship. We come to meet with our brothers and sisters, our friends and family, and to have fellowship with one another. But we are also here to listen to what God has to say, to honor his word. There's a story in scripture about Mary and Martha. You may remember that Jesus suddenly came to their house and brought a number of people with him, and Martha got very nervous about, you know, there's all these people here and I have to do hospitality. I got to feed all these people. And so she was very busy with a lot of these details. And Mary, you know, she just wanted to sit at Jesus' feet and wanted to listen to what he had to say. She prioritized that. And Martha got very upset and angry. Tell my sister to come and help me, she said. And when she went to Jesus to complain, Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better portion. I will not take that desire to hear the word of the Lord away from her. Jesus wants us to hear his word and to listen to what he has to say. So let's break this down a little bit. James says, first of all, we need to be quick to hear. Why? If you're a teacher and you don't have the ear of the student, what can you do with them? How far can you get with people who are students if you're a teacher or professor and you don't have their ear? Obviously, that if you don't have their ear, you don't have the student, and it's very limited what you can do. Whereas students who actually, you know, love learning and they're paying attention, they will excel because they're listening. Likewise, with parents, if you don't have the ear of your children, what can you do with them? How much can you influence them? If you read Proverbs, you know, God speaks, as it were, as a father, and he says to his children, listen to me, pay attention, gain understanding, don't forsake my teaching, lay hold of my words, keep my commands, don't forget my words or swerve from them, hide them in your heart. Once again, you know, if you have people's ear, you can make progress, but if you don't, there's really nothing you can do with them. And so James is once again saying, if God does not have your ear, if you are not quick to hear, if you're not listening to him, you will find that you will not have victory in your life. You will find that you will not excel. You will not develop the skills that you need to develop as a disciple, and you will not have joy. So listening is a sign that God has actually done something in our life. It's a sign of God's grace, but it's also a basic Christian discipline. Now, the second is slow to speak. And of course, it follows, doesn't it? Quick to listen, slow to speak. I mean, if you can't, like if somebody is quick to speak, you can't be quick to listen. They go together. You can't have one without the other. But I would say that slow to speak does not mean to not ask questions. That if somebody is speaking the word of God, that you can't ever ask any questions. You just have to take it, you know, try to take it all in. On the contrary, actually, it's amazing. As we read through scripture, we find that people asking Jesus questions was a very common event in his life. You may also remember in Luke chapter 2, verse 46, where Jesus is sitting in the temple. He's a young man, and it says he's listening to his teachers, but he's asking questions. And really, it's a sign when people ask good questions, to me, it's a sign that they are listening to you. So there's nothing wrong with asking questions about what people are talking about or what they're saying to get further clarity. It is a sign that you are a good listener. So what's involved here? And I've got two applications. I think being slow to speak may be a warning about people who have their own agenda. While other people are speaking, in other words, you're thinking about all kinds of other issues that you deem to be much more important. If you read Luke chapter 12, this is what seems to have happened there. Luke tells us there was this crowd of thousands of people, and Jesus was speaking to them on that occasion about some really important issues of life, issues of death, issues about the judgment day, eternal life and damnation. And all the topics that Jesus was speaking on, they demanded that people really listen to these things because they were of utmost importance. And then in Luke chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "And then someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Just think about that. Jesus is talking about, you know, heaven and hell. He's talking about issues of life and death and you know, how God is going to respond to people and what things are of utmost importance. And then all of a sudden, a line comes out from this individual about, "Oh, Jesus, can you tell my brother to share the inheritance or divide the inheritance?" And I think there might be a sense of, what? You're changing the topic on Jesus? What are you saying? "Well, you know, Lord, I'm a very practical guy. I've got my own problems and issues in my life. I've got problems at work, problems in family. Sorry, I don't have time for your priorities and your issues. I've got my own." And so sometimes this is exactly what happens, is we cut in because we're really not listening at all. We're just totally wrapped up with our own issues and concerns, with our own pressing needs. So a heart after the kingdom of God comes with the attitude, "Speak, Lord, for I am listening. I accept that you may have different issues for me this morning or whenever, but issues that are more important for my life than the ones that I think are the most important. So come and listen and be slow to speak." There's a second application that I think we can see the relevance here. I told you earlier about the coach. So the coach comes to the children and said, "The most important thing is that you listen to me." So I just want you to imagine, let's say that the coach then took all the parents aside and said, "What do you think is the most important expectation that I have of you? Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak." As I said, there's so often it's precisely because parents thought themselves to be better coaches. And in fact, I did think myself to be a better coach than them, and that's why I became a coach later on. I couldn't take it anymore, being on the other side, watching. Oh my goodness. But it's not just about coaching and soccer here. Here's James. James knew of people in the community, in the Christian community, and they thought themselves wiser than their teachers. They thought that, you know what, I don't need to be listening here. I should be the teacher myself. And they were always eager to show up their teachers about, you know, how mistaken perhaps they were. And, hey, I don't need to listen to you. You need to listen to me, as it were. Very overconfident people that don't listen, but they would love to be, you know, in front of everybody and want everybody to listen to them. But they're not good listeners themselves. So why do I say that? Well, if you look at James chapter 3, just look a little bit ahead there. In verse 1, you see what James says to the audience he's writing. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So here's James saying, listen, be very careful about, you know, thinking that teaching is an easy thing, and that you don't have to learn, that you've already know enough and you just come up before people. You will be judged more severely by the Lord and by people, but you will be judged more severely. So understand the gravity of this calling. I really think that the best teachers are people who actually are listeners as well. And so very, very important that we learn to listen and be slow to speak. And then James goes on and says, and I want you to be slow to anger. Now, what is that about? Why would James include that? Let me suggest to you that James knows that when God's word is being taught, when people are actually listening to God's word, that it may bring out of them an angry response. We hear a lot today about people getting triggered. God's word can trigger people. Let me just read two verses. Here's one in Luke chapter 4, verse 28. This is Jesus that speaking, and it says, when they heard Jesus, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. Jesus is speaking, and they don't like what he's saying, and they got triggered, and they became full of wrath. And also in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 and 57, this is where Stephen is actually preaching. And in his sermon, he says, after his sermon, we read, when they heard such things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. They got triggered by what he had to say. And then Stephen, you know, he's looking up and he says, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And the crowd cries out with a loud voice. And this is really interesting. And they stopped their ears and then stoned him. One of my foster daughters, when she first moved into our place, she had this habit of like whenever she would hear me say something she didn't like, she would actually put her fingers in her ears like this. And of course, one day I just had to go and I pulled out the fingers. I said, don't do that. You have to listen to me. But this is the picture that I got, where people are, you know, Stephen is preaching, Jesus are preaching, and people are like, I don't want to hear this. I've had enough. You know what? There are plenty of hot button issues in our society today. And every time that someone speaks on those hot button issues, somebody is going to get blessed and somebody is going to get very angry. This is what the Word of God is telling us. And I know this from personal experience because I get feedback from people. But even without feedback, there's about 10 different faces that are triggered that I recognize in the congregation. I was thinking one of these days I should just take the pictures and put them up. These are triggered faces. Right? But there are times that you're sitting there and you hear something and right away it rubs you the wrong way. And I would say that absolutely, if it's the speaker or it's myself that's saying something that is contrary to the word of God, you have every right to go and talk to me and, you know, say your piece. Because that I'm here to give you God's word. But otherwise, I would say, hey, don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. Because if what I'm giving you is the word of God, your issue is not with me. Your issue is with the Lord. And I think that very often, you know, people, there's almost a defense mechanism, and I've seen this over the years. Don't touch my idol. Don't challenge the sins in my life. Don't disagree with my pet doctrines. Because if you do, I'm going to get angry. So, again, you know, some people might say, Vic, you're talking about, what, non-Christians? And I'd say, no, I'm talking about both. Just think of Jonah as an example. Do you remember Jonah? I mean, was he angry or what? Yeah, when God told him that he wanted to forgive the Ninevites, he was just totally beside himself. He was angry with God. God, I don't want you to show mercy to those Ninevites. They are awful, wicked people. Judge them, condemn them, send them to hell. Don't tell me that you're about to save them. Of course, for most of us, we have the opposite problem. We all think that God is too judgmental and full of wrath, whereas Jonah's problem is that God is too merciful and too kind. That was his issue. But he got very angry when he heard the word of the Lord. And you know what really got him angry was when God called him and said, Jonah, I'm actually going to call you to go to Nineveh and bring a message that may eventually lead to salvation. What? I hate those people. You're only supposed to call people that love other people. Don't call me. I hate them. And God called him, and he couldn't take it, and so he ran away. He was angry with God. This idea that God is speaking because I'm going to experience peace, joy, happiness. But if I ever hear a word that rubs me the wrong way and gets me angry, well, that's a sign that that's not from God. The idea that the word of God, you know, will always make you feel good about yourself, I think you're mistaking God and Oprah. All right? That's not who God is. There are times when you're going to hear things that from Scripture that's going to be disturbing. And if you'd never hear that, I am not bringing you God's word. Let me read you what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He says to Timothy, he's a preacher, he's an evangelist, and he says to him, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And then listen, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Wow. So, you know, everybody has an opinion of what a good speaker is, right? The Word of God has an opinion of what a good listener is. And what Paul is just saying here is that you as a member of a congregation should not sit there and just, you know, ask yourself, does this make me feel good or does this make me feel angry? Because if it makes me feel angry, why should I come to a place where I feel angry and not happy and uplifted? That's one way to approach it. The other way to approach it is, Lord, I am here to listen to what you have to say to me. Speak, for your servant is listening. Whatever the word may be, if I need a word of correction or rebuke, I pray that I will receive it from you. Because I know that when I listen to what you have to say, that you always send me on the right path. and it's always good for my life. So here's James' warning. You know, be quick to hear, slow to speak, be slow to anger, all right? Really listen and say, okay, that makes me angry, but is it from God? Because James is telling us that often people get angry and then they stop listening and they start accusing God even. Remember, James was saying, God does not tempt anyone to sin, so don't blame God. Don't get angry at God if your life is falling apart because of decisions that you have made. So be careful about responding in anger. You know, we watched a video of a man for 22 years. He was angry with God. And he could not hear God speaking to him. And once he allowed, you know, God to be God in his life, and he was able to say, forgive me. You know, I think one of the most insightful things he said was, I was so selfish with my pain, I didn't want to give it up. I did not want to give it away. I wanted to stay angry. And I wanted to stay angry with God, but it was destroying my life. But when I stopped being angry with God, God just, he picked me up. He forgave me. He was my ally. He was not my enemy. So realizing that, you know, this anger that we have, it sometimes makes us feel righteous. But here's James saying it doesn't please God. It won't bring you to God. It won't keep you close to God. And then finally, the last verse. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So it's not surprising that this is how he follows up with a therefore. Listen, if you're listening to God's word, okay. Or let me put it this way. If God has saved you through the gospel, you have come to realize that he has accepted you just as you are. You come to him, you're still a sinner. All the sins in your life, you come to him. You say, God, I am sorry. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And God will receive you as you trust in Jesus Christ. You don't have to clean up all your life and get rid of everything, all the filth and so on and so forth, for you to become a believer. He will accept you just as you are if you have faith in Christ. But understand this, that if you come to Christ with all your brokenness, you come to Christ, and then from that moment on, he is going to now use his word to actually sanctify you. He's going to change us. Anything that was there that is a filth, he's going to want to change that in your life. Anything that is causing you to move away from God, to hide from God, to run from God, those things need to be addressed. The gospel says come. But now he says, now that you've come to the Lord, The word of God is going to purify your hearts. As you are in the word daily, as you read it, he wants to make us clean. Jesus prayed for his disciples, Father, sanctify them by the truth, for your word is truth. Can I tell you what the most commonly heard regrets are in life as I close? And I've heard this so many times. There are people who have said, you know, looking back, I wish I had listened. Others have said, I wish I had never spoken and said what I said. And thirdly, I wish I had never lost my temper. Isn't it amazing? James, in this word, says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. It really is a life with no regrets. Friends, as I just close now, let me ask, how are you doing in the reading of God's word? Once again, James is saying, look, when Jesus saved you and you are now part of his team, you are part now of God's family, he wants you to listen to him. You have to be in his word. You have to read it, pray about it, memorize it, hide it in your heart, be quick to hear it, quick to respond. We need to be in his word. So again, I'm going to encourage, I hope that you're reading through the Gospel of Luke and Acts. We're going to be finishing up in a few days, the Gospel of Acts, and then we're going to be reading about Paul's prison epistles right after. But be in the word. Speak to other people about the word of God. This is what James is telling. When God saved you, he saved you to have a relationship with God through the word of God. And if you're not a Christian yet, just ask yourself, has it really helped you to listen to all the other voices out there, to listen to your own desires and prioritize them? Maybe it's time that you say, you know what, I've heard all the other voices and it's just destroyed my life. It has not made it better. I'm going to listen to God from now on. I'm going to listen to what he says in his word. I'm going to follow his word. And I'm going to be slow to speak against God. You know, I'm going to be slow to speak and to, you know, be judgmental about his word. Or I'm just going to really listen. And I'm going to stop being angry against God. He is my ally. He's my friend. He's my savior. Let me listen to him. Give up my anger and accept the peace that comes through the grace of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, one of your lines so often when you spoke was, let him who has ears to hear the word of the Lord. Jesus, you call upon us to believe on you as our Lord and Savior, the one who can forgive us, the one who has died on the cross for us, the one who will never leave us or forsake us, the one who promises to sanctify us, the one who promises to raise us from the dead, the one who promises that we will be with him throughout eternity. I do pray, Lord, that each one of us here would have ears to hear what you are saying to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.